Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 41. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome, and hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room at the carol singing area over here. Last podcast was a play date with me, talking about sign language and the one place to find 100 inspiring play websites. So if you missed this one, pop on over to the blog and download the show. It's show number 40. This week's show, I'm talking to Jen Walshaw of MumInTheMadhouse.com as part of the occasional segment called Mums from Around the World. Stay tuned for the weekly find, and it's a podcast recommendation. I'll be right back after this short break.
Once upon a time, old Scrooge sat down before the fire.
Ah, humbug.
His plans happened to rest upon a bell. With great astonishment, this bell began to swing, as did every bell in the house. Without a pause, Marley's ghost came on through the heavy door and passed into the room before his eyes.
Who are you? What do you want with me?
I am here to warn you.
You will be haunted by three spirits.
I'd rather not.
Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one.
Expect the second the next night at the same hour. And the third upon the next night.
Can't I take them all at once and have it over with?
To read A Christmas Carol and other books online, go to www.read.gov. Explore new worlds. Read. Yeah! Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Today I'm delighted to talk to Jen Walshaw about her fabulous activities that she does with her two boys. Jen was a finalist for the MADS 2010. She's also a toy tester for the Grape Toy Guide. She writes from the heart on many issues, but today we're focusing on play activities. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Firstly, Jen, tell us about the MADS, because that just happened. What's that?
The MADS was the Mum and Dad Blogger Awards, and it was set up by the number one UK mummy blogger called Sally Whittle, and it was basically a celebration of all that's wonderful within blogging in the UK. So there was different awards for different categories.
And what category were you in?
I was up for the Family Fun Blog of the Year. It was a blog that covered family issues and family activities and things that you do with your family.
Oh, brilliant. I first got to know you, I think, through the craft work that you were doing at Christmas time when we tweeted back and forth quite a few times. And do you remember I made some wise men? And I showed you a picture.
I do. They were wonderful.
Oh, we had so much fun doing those wise men. And that was part of the Children's Craft Showcase, I think. Can you tell us about the Children's Craft Showcase that you have on your blog, what it is and how it works?
Okay. The Craft Showcase originated because when I had my boys, I all of a sudden had urges to be creative with them and to do creative things with them and to actually give it a shop window where, you know, people could see the craft that children did. And I find that often people shy away from crafting with their children because they think it's going to be messy or hard work, and it really doesn't need to be. So I decided that I would basically do a very brief tutorial of whatever craft we were going to do, and let people link to it so that everybody could see it. It was kind of a gallery of children's craft.
I've really enjoyed looking at all the different activities that you're doing, and I've been inspired, like we did with the wise men, to try and do some of my own crafts with the kids. You said that you had two boys, and if I remember rightly, it's a short age gap between them. Is that right?
It is. There's 15 months between the two of them.
And that's happening more and more. There's a lot of families that have that type of age gap. How do you make that work? Because when I look at your blog, it's amazing the things that you all manage to turn out.
Before I had the children, I used to be really organized. And one of the first things that I learned upon having children is that you can't control everything. I started to control the things that I could. And for me, that meant things like getting their clothes out the night before and just making sure that if we had a bag packed so that if it was fine weather, we could go out because we had everything in a bag that allows us to do that. And especially with them being, you know, so close together. So, and we still do that now. I have a rucksack which has plasters and drinks and everything in. So we can just, I can just throw it on my back, and on a good day, we can go out for the day. And we still get our clothes out the night before. I still plan things and try and do things so that we're organised, but it allows us to be spontaneous.
I've had to do something similar now. Really organise what we do when so that everything can kind of run smoothly.
I think that the boys like the organisation. They like knowing where they're, which drawer their underwear's in, and they can get it out themselves the night before. Where their shoes go so that they can get them themselves. It's about empowering them to help me do things so that they know where they can get things from, or they know what's where and what time we do this. They know what time we go out to school, and they tell me and keep me right as much as I keep them right.
Do you find that when you're doing the activities that you have to change the activity according to their age because of the gap, or are they able to do similar activities?
What I tend to do, if I need to spend more time with one, then I will, and the other one will just carry on and do what they need to. But because the age gap is so small, the younger one tends to come up to a level of the older one, or the older one tends to drop down to a level of the younger one, especially with arts and crafts, we can do it all as one. With reading, we can do it as one. I can sit in the middle with one either side and they'll both try. So I've never treated them any differently.
Yes.
But you do tend to sometimes have to tailor things. You don't. We might need to do two jigsaws rather than just one jigsaw.
Right.
But we can do that at one table.
Yes.
We play board games, and maybe Minnie and me be one team, and Maxie and my husband will be another team.
Right.
So we work together to actually compensate for the age differences. But it's such a small amount, you can't treat them the same, but I can't treat them any differently.
Right. Today I'm talking to Jen from muminthemadhouse.com. That's M-U-M, which gives us a clue to where you're located. I'm excited that you are the first interview in a new occasional series called Mums Around the World. We all play and do things, some of us similarly to each other, and some of us very differently. And sometimes because of climate or location or something like that, we just do different things. And I thought it would be really interesting to see what mums are like around the world. Having lived in a few places, how well do we play? Do we play differently in Australia than we do in America or England or Spain? So I've got a few questions. Okay, city or countryside, where would you love to live and raise children, or where do you live? And you don't need to mention the name of the place if you don't want to.
Okay, for us it would be countryside all the time, and we actually made a really big decision when I was pregnant with my youngest boy. And we relocated from Berkshire in England back to the northeast of England, to North Yorkshire, where we're from, so that we could bring the children up in the countryside and by the sea.
What are the age groups of your children?
They're both at school, at primary school. I have a four-year-old and a five-year-old.
What would they say are their favourite toys?
Well, at the moment, we're going through a slight obsession with everything electronic. and technological. So if I asked Maxie, he would definitely say the Wii.
Right.
The Nintendo Wii. Finley probably would say his Star Wars dressing up. He's still quite heavily into dressing up and role-playing.
And what would you say is your favourite toys for them?
I love Lego. Absolutely adore Lego, Duplo, and books. You can't beat a good book.
Yeah. I remember your Twitter avatar has Lego on it, right?
It does, yes. We love Lego. We love building. I love just having a box of blocks and seeing what they make and you know, in the garages and fairy castles and the freedom for them to just, it doesn't have to be anything. It can just be whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, us too. We're really into Lego at the moment, although it seems to be migrating around the house at remarkable speed. I have to gather it all back together again at the end of the night.
It's very uncomfortable underfoot if you land on it, and it's amazing how boys can make guns out of anything, even Lego.
I know. Okay, the next question is, what was play like when you were younger? Can you think of one of the best memories that you had about play when you were younger that you'd like to share?
I really remember things like making ramps out of bits of wood that my dad had in the back alley and driving over them on my bike and going and fishing for crabs in the salt water boating lake. So I really remember being outside a lot as a child.
Wow, that's a really nice memory to have. And what's your biggest play challenge? I mean, you mentioned earlier about electronics, and I remember your recent blog post that you've had this week that you mentioned that you're going to cut down on electronics. Do you want to mention the name of that post and tell us a little bit about it?
Electronics, where do you draw the line, or how much is too much, is the title of the recent post that I did, basically on our technology obsession, which is one of the things that the boys are coming up with. I'm desperate for them to do other things and not become children and teenagers that are constantly attached to some electronic gadget or gizmo. So we decided that we're going to let them have time on it. We're not going to say that they can't have it, but we are going to limit it, and we're going to give it as a reward for good behaviour. And we're going to have technology-free days, which means that everybody will have a technology-free day, not just them, but me as well and my husband too. And this week, we've implemented that, and we've had days where they haven't had any technology, and we've played with mosaics, we've played with jigsaws, we've sat and read more books, and it seems to be really starting to work.
That's really good. I love those ideas. It can be really hard to try and work a system that works for everybody because, like you said, you don't want to take things completely away. You just want to get a workable solution that will work for everybody. And it's hard to teach the little ones because they, whenever they do anything, it's so passionately that they just want to do it straight away. And as parents, we really have to try and show them the things to do. It's really tough. I really applaud you for doing that because it's a hard thing to do.
It is, and they learn by example and behaviour breeds behaviour, which is why I can't say to them, you know, you can't go on the Wii or you can't go on the Leadster because, and I'm going to go on the iPod or go on Twitter.
Yes.
So we've got to do it all together. And it also, it's positive reinforcement for me as much as them, especially with the winter coming, that we've got different things that we can do.
Yes. Okay, let's go to the next question. Which of these three would you say? Homemade Play-Doh, store-bought Play-Doh, or no Play-Doh? What type of household are you?
Oh, homemade Play-Doh, definitely. And homemade scented Play-Doh is even better with some essential oils in it.
Oh, what's your favourite one?
We like lavender or neroli, and believe it or not, Maxie actually really loves tea tree.
They're new ones. I haven't thought of those scents to use.
And it's really good for children because it's very calming.
Yes.
And you know, anything to keep them calm is yes. By me.
Three play activities that you do every week, you seem to always crop up in your house.
As I said to you earlier, we're transitioning from me having Minnie with me for most of the day and going to preschool for just an hour or two, to Minnie being at school full time now. So our activities tend to be after school, and one of our the main activity for us each week is that we go to the park next to the school for an hour after school, so the boys can run off some energy. We also go to swimming lessons once a week, and the boys also go to football, which is soccer in the US, with their dad on a Saturday morning.
Excellent. Well done you for getting them so active and keeping them going all week. That's a tricky thing to do with, you know, two boys and all the things that we have to do at home.
It is, but I find that if we can allow them to let their energy off, then they're much happier children. And I think that they behave so well at school and they're so reserved at school that they need to come out and let that energy out. And so going to the park, we're very lucky, we've got a lovely park next to school. It makes such a difference to their behaviour once they get home that it's actually worth it. It's worth running about with them. And the same with swimming and football. You know, there's plenty of things to keep them inside occupied. It's nice to actually, you know, build a routine of exercise and enjoyment in a week as well. All have to be about structured play.
Yes. You're right. I've been trying to walk home with the boys, but they've just been exhausted after, you know, a full-on day at school. So I've not had as much success as I've wanted with that, but I completely understand where they're coming from. They're just shattered.
Well, I tend to take a drink with me and snacks and a healthy snack with me to the park because they tend to come out of school and they're hungry.
Yes.
So they tend to have a drink, have a snack, and then they'll play and then we'll walk home. So that's how we work it. I think if I just didn't feed them until we got home, that it wouldn't work for us at all.
Right.
But it was just about learning what their needs were and picking up on their cues to actually find that actually they come out, they're thirsty, they're hungry, and then they want to run around.
Right. That's a good tip. Can you think of two waiting at the bank play activities or waiting for something?
Yes, we wait a lot in the doctors. So we tend to play I Spy.
Okay.
But we also play I Don't Spy because it tends to be in the same place. So it can be, you know, I Don't Spy Daddy's. I Don't Spy something begins with D, duh, and it will be Daddy. And we also play Who Am I or What Am I, where we give clues and the people have got to guess what type, if it's an animal, what type of animal I am. And so do I live on the land or do I live at sea?
I must try that one, because I seem to be laden down with things, and so both of those activities that you described are things that you can just, you know, dream up in your mind. They're not things that you have to carry in with you in your, you know, handbag or your purse. Or
I think that the boys have got to an age now where I don't need to carry as many things to keep them occupied, that they can, they both understand letters. And originally, before we got to the I Spy letters, we would do I Spy colours.
Oh.
I Spy something that's brown.
Mm-hmm.
Or I Spy two of these. So there's lots of ways that you can actually tailor it to the age of the child.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to have a physical thing. They can use their imagination. It's wonderful.
Can you tell us a game or an activity that you keep in the car? Because I'm sure you've got rid of your pushchair or your stroller already.
I have. One of the things that we keep in the car is we always have paper and pens and books. So we have puzzle books, colouring books, join the dots. So it's something that the boys can do independently in the back of the car so that I can concentrate on driving once I get, you know, once I Spy gets a little tedious.
Yes. And the last question, have you ever been to classes or a playgroup with the children, and what was it like for you and them?
I have been to what we call in the UK Mum and Toddlers, which was run by one of the local churches on a morning, and basically it's a group of mums take their children until they're at nursery age, and they just have fun and play with communal toys. The children learn to sit round the table and have a drink and have a snack, and the mums tend to get a hot cup of tea or coffee and a cake.
I really missed being able to do that when I was in the States. There didn't seem to be as many on-the-corner places where I happen to live, to be able to do that, to just go along to each individual church and be able to pay a small fee and get a class and meet all these different women. It seemed that you had to pay out a lot more money. What are the prices like in the UK for joining a mother and toddler group like you've described?
The mum and toddler group we went to was 50 pence per child, which was fantastic. And also in the UK, there's a thing called SureStart, which is government set up, which tends to be free to go to, which again offers lots of early years support, toddler groups, arts and craft groups and things like that that you can go to that are in your local area.
Wow, that's really good. And I was just looking up that 50 pence is about 75 cents. So I just thought that conversion might be handy for some of us.
Yes, I mean, it literally is enough to cover a drink and biscuits for the children. And it's run by volunteers, which is why, obviously, it's cheaper. It's not run as a business, which right. is why often it's in church halls and things like that, because it's run by the older generation. And the mum and toddler group that I took the boys to was there when I was a child and with children before me, so it's been running for a long, long time.
Excellent. But they still have to be inspected and they still have to follow guidelines.
Yeah, there's something called Ofsted in the UK, and they have to be Ofsted registered, and it's all correctly done, and people have got, you know, checks and everything. Can you never leave your children alone with them? They're supervised with you there, but it's just a great way of getting socialising the children and getting a group of mums together.
Today I've been talking to Jen Walshaw of MumInTheMadhouse.com as part of a series of interviews with mums who are making the most of playtime. Thanks for coming on, Jen.
You're welcome, anytime.
You'll have to come back and share more about your cooking adventures with your children and your work as a toy tester.
I will do in the future. You should let me know when.
All right. I'd love to showcase more mums from around the world, so please email me at Melissa@RaisingPlayfulTots.com or leave a message on the blog to suggest yourself or someone else. Where can we find you online, Jen?
You can find me at www.mum.com and you can also find me on Twitter where I tweet at mum_themadhouse.
Oh, that's great. Thanks for agreeing for the interview. I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Judy Johnston from the Tessie and Tab Reading Club, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Thanks, Jen. That was a lot of fun. Time for the weekly find. This is the part of the show where I highlight a play activity or a resource that I have found interesting this week. Well, this week I have another podcast to recommend. You know, this time of year is just so busy. We're in and out of the car, taking the kids to rehearsals for nativity plays. We're celebrating by going to services. We're baking cookies, making mince pies. There just seems to be a lot of time that we're on the move at this time of year. And so I think it's the perfect time to recommend you a podcast, because of course you can take podcasts with you anywhere that you go. And I'd like to recommend to you Vicky and Jen of What Really Matters. These women produce an outstanding show. I've been listening for a really long time now, and I love that they always ask the guest the question that I was just thinking. Some of the shows that I think that you would really like that talk about playful tots, I think you should look at show number 8, The New 6-Point Plan, and show number 17, Last Child in the Woods, and show number 148, Kids Are Worth It. So you can see they've been around for a long time. And lastly, the very popular and topical Teaching Gratitude via Half Full Kids, which is show number 108. They have a huge archive of amazing, amazing guest speakers on their podcast, so I would really encourage you to go over to Vicky and Jen's podcast called What Really Matters at their website, vickyandjen.com, or look them up on iTunes. You won't be disappointed, and you'll have some fun listening while you're doing all those baking. Just before I go, I also want to let you know that you can listen to Raising Playful Tots via your smartphone. That's right, you can find Raising Playful Tots on Stitcher Radio. You download the free app and you can access Raising Playful Tots and other podcasts straight from your phone. So along with iTunes, there are many more places now that you can catch your favourite shows. Take care for the holiday season, and I'll see you in the new year. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 41, for the week of the 5th of December 2010. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.